Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's worship together, shall we? Would you stand and sing with us?
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I see your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
My name is Cheryl Broom, and I get to be the senior pastor here at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. So glad to see so many of you here and your bright faces and your voices, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do in this worship time. We have a special service of Holy Communion today. We also will be inviting two families to join the church. See what you started? Thank you. So, you have a bulletin here that's got all the life of the church. There are books. We have extra books for our Bible study that's coming up in the back if you're interested. Take this home with you and put it on your refrigerator. In the next couple of weeks, we have the start of the Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to sharing that time with you. Let's begin our time of worship.
Good morning. Buenos días, todos. Es bueno estar en adoración con ustedes esta mañana. Vamos a encender las velas para comenzar el servicio al simbolizar la presencia de Cristo con nosotros. Dale.
Good morning, my name is Georgia Chapa, and it is good to be in worship with you all this morning. We light these candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Would you stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ?
Please be seated.
We will be reading Genesis 17, chapters from 1 to 7 in the New Revised Standards Version, updated edition. You might join us by reading in the Pew Bible on page number 12 to 13. Listen now for a word from God.
And this is the official language in heaven, Español. Era Abraham de 99 años. Y cuando le apareció Jehová y le dijo, yo soy el Dios Todopoderoso, que anda delante de mí y sé perfecto, y pondré mi pacto entre mí y tú, y te multiplicaré de gran manera. Entonces Abraham se postró sobre su rostro. Y Dios habló con él diciendo, he aquí mi pacto es contigo, y serás padre de muchedumbre, muchas, muchas gentes. Y no se llamará más tu nombre Abraham, sino que será tu nombre Abraham. Porque te he puesto por padre de muchedumbre de gentes, y te multiplicaré en gran manera y haré naciones de ti, y reyes saldrán de ti, y estableceré mi pacto entre mí y ti, y tú. Y tu descendencia después de ti en tus generaciones por pacto perpetuo, para ser tu Dios y el Dios de tu descendencia después de ti. La palabra de Dios es para el pueblo de Dios.
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will take my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you to the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offsprings after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to offsprings after you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Por favor, únanse a mí en oración de confesión y perdón.
Would you join us in the prayer of confession and pardon on screen, please? Let us pray.
Dios Todopoderoso, confesamos que no te hemos amado con todo nuestro corazón. Hemos fallado en ser una iglesia obediente. No hemos hecho tu voluntad, hemos quebrantado tu ley. Y nos hemos rebelado contra tu amor. No hemos amado a nuestro prójimo y no hemos escuchado la voz y el clamor de los necesitados. Perdónanos, te lo pedimos. Libéranos para que la obediencia podamos ser en gozo. Por medio de Jesucristo nuestro Señor. Amén.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
I failed to tell you that the yellow cards are your prayer cards that you can fill out. They're in the pew seats in front of you. If you have a prayer request need, we have an active prayer team who will be meeting here tomorrow at 4, where we will pray over your prayer request. We pray over the entire list of those who come to worship. So if we know that you're coming to worship, we pray for you. And if you'll turn those in as the offering plate goes by, that'll be awesome. This blue card is if you're a guest to our congregation and we haven't gotten any information on you before, please fill one of these out with the information you're comfortable with. I'll only call you, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times after 10 a.m. No, I won't call you and bug you much. Anyway, during our prayer time together, we're going to lift before God. Oh, I want to invite the Spark children. Sorry, Mary. Jessie's not here. She's on vacation. And so Mary is going to lead our children who are going to go to Spark worship. Out the back, you'll go to worship and then come back here to have communion with us. We'll miss you while you're gone. Have fun. We'll miss you. We'll have a time where we will go before God in our prayers for your pastoral prayer time, and I'll ask you to repeat after me periodically, Lord, hear our prayers. I'll clue you in when you need to do that, okay? So as we prepare our hearts, I want to remind you of a verse from John chapter 20, verse 21, where Jesus says these words, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be fearful. Let us therefore go before God as people of peace in our prayers. Let us pray. Today, Almighty God, we name before you those things that have broken our hearts, rendered us speechless, as we have cried out for your tender mercies. Lord, hear our prayers. As tragedies abound, O Lord, war and strife seems to be the order of the day, and we are caught in the middle of the chaos. Calm our spirits. Bring about your peace. Lord, hear our prayers. Help us to remain focused on the love you have given us in Christ Jesus. Remind us again that his healing mercies extend to us this day as surely as they did to the people of long ago. Lord, hear our prayers. We have gathered this day to hear your word, to be forgiven and healed, and to find ways in which we may serve you in peace. We lift before you now the names of those dear and near to us who stand in need of your healing mercies and compassionate love. Lord, Lord, you have heard our prayers. You know our needs and concerns before our voices can frame them. We accept the love you give us. Empower us to take that love and use it for good in your world. Lord, hear our prayers. And let your message of hope and compassion reign in us as we go forth into the world, as we trust in you and we know that you are fully with us. This we pray, Lord. Hear our prayers. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever in your life heard this or done it yourself when you tell somebody something that you're really serious about. I cross my heart. I'm telling the truth. Now, sometimes you'll say, cross your heart. Stick that needle in my eye. Aren't we weird people? So sometimes you'll just hold your hand over your heart when you make a promise or a vow. And this is supposed to mean that you're being completely honest and sincere. My mother used to do it all the time. She'd tell a story and she'd say, "No, I'm not kidding, cross my heart." Like I'm supposed to believe her after that. And promises and vows are often made upon the Bible. Yeah, you go to court, not that I would know. Recently, and they give a Bible to you and say, you put your hand on the Bible and you raise your hand and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God." Wow, we swear a lot. And it's about your testimony. And we testify before a judge. We promise to tell the truth. We promise. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The promise that God made in his covenant to the Jewish people. You heard Georgette and Ophelia read. This is a mother and daughter team. I'm so blessed that they come and share with us both in English and in Spanish. And it just opens the scripture so much for me. So thank you. They read from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And in that story, Abram was 99 years old. We had a youth class this morning. We meet at 8:45 in room 305 if you're young at Spirit or young in person. And we actually talked about this story, didn't we, Letty? And we said, Abram was 99 years old. And I said, do you think that's in dog years? Or is that people years? So anybody sitting out here who thinks you're too old to do God's work, 99. That means Sarai was around 99 too. Anyway, this is what the Lord said when he appeared to Abram. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of multiples of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor to multiples of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come for you. I establish my covenant between you and me and your offsprings throughout generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offsprings after you. Did you notice that God changed Abram's name? You noticed that because you guys were paying attention. Nobody's asleep back there. Noah, where are you? Okay, still awake. God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Do you know what the word ham means? Multitudes. So he changed him from a singular guy to a multitude. He also changed his wife's name, Sarai, to Sarah, but that's a different story. Becoming a multiple of nations means that from one, many come. A huge number of people and cultures of diversity and connection, as vast as all of humanity. That was what God promised in what we call the Abrahamic covenant. Make sense? God made a covenant with Abraham. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. So what exactly did God promise? Did God cross his heart? Different people in different cultures have a slightly different viewpoint of what God's promises were made that day. For Jews, they believe that God's covenant applies only to Jewish people and that they are solely the inheritors of God's promises. Christians see Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, extending blessings to all who believe in him. And even our Islam brothers and sisters view Abraham, and they call him Ibrahim, as a central prophet and consider themselves part of his spiritual lineage, because Abraham, too, was the father of Ishmael. Interesting that Abraham's legacy, in fact, turned into a multitude of nations, just like God promised. And as we consider this legacy, then we're going to continue to read a little bit more in Acts chapter 3. It's up there, verses 25 and 26. In your Pew Bible, it's on 994. And I'm reading the same version that you have in your Pew Bibles, essentially the New Revised Standard Edition. So if you want to look at that with me. It says, you are the descendants of the prophets and of the covenant that God made to your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and in your descendants all the families of earth shall be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This too is the word of God for the people of God. See, as with the reading in the Old Testament in Genesis, we here again read about how God's covenant, God's promise to Abraham and his descendants will be numerous and blessed, and through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is understood as a spiritual blessing, granting divine favor that is available to all of Abraham's descendants. So now let's hear one more final word. You'll see in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 21. It's just one little verse, and these are Jesus' words. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Again, this is the word of God for the people of God. See, Jesus carries this covenant on through us. And so you might be wondering to yourself, what is a covenant? A covenant is a special agreement or promise between two or more parties. One of the best known examples of a covenant, you know about it, it is in the marriage. A marriage is an excellent example for us of a covenant. In the promises made. For in marriage, two people form a relationship based on promises that they make to love one another, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in, until death do us part. See, covenants bind two parties together, and they're not easily undone. Scripture says that God has chosen to make a covenant with us, for better, for worse, in good times and in, the relationship will not be broken. Why? Because even if we as humans are neglectful or unfaithful or rebellious, God never stops upholding God's end of the covenant. Our covenant with God may be strained, it may be stretched, it may even be neglected by us. But God does not give up on us. It can never be broken because of God's faithfulness to us. It has nothing to do with our faithfulness because, frankly, we're not all that faithful. And frankly, we can be a little fickle. I didn't get an amen on that at all, Natalie. We can be upheld in that covenant because of God's faithfulness. It has very little to do with us because God promised to be steadfast to us. He promised to be faithful to us. He promised never to break the covenant. God is waiting on us. And God promises generation after generation after generation to be for us. Sometimes we think that only meant back in historical biblical times. And we might even say, gosh, I wish that God would uphold this covenant with me now like he made with those people back then. That covenant is as fresh and new today as when God made it with those people. And he made it for individuals, for families, for peoples around the world, extending generation to generation. And this means when we read this scripture, it includes us. We're part of that covenant. God promises you. God promises me. God promises your family and my family. God promises all the people in the world. These are not historical in the past promises. We live in the power of that promise today. Aren't you happy about that? Y'all don't look happy. You should be dancing that we live in this promise, this covenant with God today. I wish I saw a little more happy faces, but that, you know. The founder of Methodist, his name was... I knew y'all were Methodists. He believed the new covenant in Christ was fulfillment of this Abrahamic covenant. He believed that Christ fulfilled that covenant, offering redemption regardless of our lineage or origin. Wesley emphasized God's abundant grace and willingness to forgive us. He believed that sincere repentance, seeking forgiveness, Recommitting to God's will lead to reconciliation and peace, restoration and renewal. Anybody need those things? That role of confession, both as individuals and as peoples, the confession is not for God. It is for us. Today, we prayed that prayer of confession a couple of times. I hope you got it. You remember what you said? We confess to God with our words. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. Sometimes I take those words out and I just make them personal to me. I have failed to be obedient. I have not done your will. I have broken your law. I have not heard the cry of the needy. I have not loved my neighbors. Forgive me, I pray. Free me for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are the words we confessed just a few minutes ago. Do you remember? And that confession is not for God. It's for our broken hearts and our brokenness that we seek to be renewed and restored in Christ Jesus. And then later, when we take Holy Communion, you hear these words of institution. You hear these words all the time. And we say this as we acknowledge that even when our love failed, God's love did not fail. God made a covenant to be our God and King and spoke to us through the prophets. And with all the people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your holy name. That's what we say. And we say this because we are recipients of God's promise. We are together. We are God's chosen and set apart people in remembrance of God's mighty acts in Jesus Christ, in the power of the covenant we promise ourselves, in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith when we say Christ has, Christ is, Christ will come again. We say that every time we have Holy Communion, and yet we walk away from there, and we close the book, and we forget. We forget that we are people of the covenant. We forget that God has made a promise to us that will never end. And God just wants us to live into that covenant. Not because we have to, and not because there's a threat of any kind, a fear of any kind, but because God loved us so much that he gave his only son, that we would receive this covenant and live into the fact that we are God's chosen people. I think that's amazing, don't you? Aren't you glad you came to church today to be reminded? And every time we have communion and we gather together in worship, we are reminded of who we are and whose we are. I didn't get an amen on that either, Natalie. So once more today, when we share in Holy Communion, we share in these words together, these powerful words where we in fact receive Jesus Christ. Through the power of his Holy Spirit, we are transformed and made new. And this covenant stuff, it's important. It's important to us, and it's important to God, this covenant stuff. So later in worship, even after communion, we are so very blessed to receive into membership two families who will be joining us, and they are standing on the promises of God as they come forward, and they will stand. Sorry, made y'all do it last week. They will stand on the promise and the covenant that God made with them. Isn't that exciting stuff? And when they take their vows, and they take vows, they're not going to cross their heart and hope to die or stick a needle in their eye. But they make promises. And we unpack those promises for anybody who wants to join. There's really two promises that you make when you join this church. We ask you, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and do you promise to serve him? And if you do, you say, I do, or I will. And then the second is, will you serve Jesus Christ here in this church? Do you promise to be faithful to the covenant you make here with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And most of the time they say, okay. And then I turn to y'all who are already members here or Methodists, and you know these when I say to you, will you continue to uphold your promise to love Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to serve him here in this place with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say amen. Amen. They always say amen. These are covenant words. These are the promises that you make. And if you break those promises, God is not going to smote you. I may not stand next to you. I'm just going to move over here. We make these promises and this commitment and covenant not because of what we're going to get or we're afraid. We do it as a response to God's love and covenant to us. Because what else can you do but love the Lord and follow him? I'm so blessed to be part of this congregation and to share with you this covenant that we make both in Holy Communion and later as we welcome these two beautiful families into membership in this church. See, our part of the covenant is lifelong. It's the journey of faith and sometimes action. It's about believing in God's grace and love and seeking God's presence and embodying Jesus' teachings in our lives, which include love, compassion, justice, and service. May the Spirit of God live within you and guide you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
This morning, you've given blessed ministry within our congregation. The communion offering, the altar rail given today, we go to support Human Relations Day in the United Methodist Church. What is a Human Relations Day? Human Relations Day calls United Methodists to recognize the right of all God's children in realizing their potential as human beings in relationship with one another. The special offering benefits neighborhood ministries throughout the community developers, community advocacy through United Methodist voluntary services, and work with at-risk teens through the Youth Offender Rehabilitation Program. Why do I give? I give because that's how I was raised. My grandma always talked about it, and my mom. And I always remember growing up as a child that God, because God loves a cheerful giver. And it's true. And just a little something that I like to share. There was a time several years ago, more than probably 20 years ago, and I was going through very difficult financial hardships and tribulation. But then I learned that my coworker had it worst. And she was a single mom, raising four kids on her own. And I remember that, you know, it was very hard. But then I thought, well, if I take her to the grocery store and purchase, you know, the groceries for her and her children for that 1 week, it's not going to make me richer. It's not going to make me more poor than I am. But, you know, then I had the opportunity to spread a little. You know, if I had it better than her, it was not to compare, but it was the opportunity to say, God, make me aware of this situation for a reason. So I was very glad to help. So to this day, you know, she's very successful, and her children are, and we remember the hard times that made us the strong people that we are today. So with that said, I'm going to ask my mom, and my mom, she's a handful. Her name is Ophelia, but I call her Clarita, because Clarita is like the neutral ground to have those hard conversations, and we can tell the truth without getting offended. So I'm going to ask her, what is it that you give, Clarita, to the church?
Okay. My name is Ophelia for everybody. First in Spanish. Hace mucho tiempo, Mi papá me enseñó que yo debía de ir a la iglesia siempre con una parte de mi dinero que él me daba. Y esa costumbre se me quedó para siempre. Después, cuando aprendí a leer, un verso tocó mi corazón que dice, cada uno dé como propuso en su corazón. Y esa es mi decisión. El verso tocó no solo mi corazón, también mi billete, mi bolsa. And the translation say, long time ago, when I was little, my dad told me, you should give money every time you go to the church service. And years later, when I learned to read, I memorized one verse, but I love it. It's in Corinthians 2, chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he decided in your heart, and this is my will. The offering prayer said in Spanish, Dios Todopoderoso, oramos para que nuestro amor por ti, alimentado por el Espíritu Santo, se desborde en todos los aspectos de nuestras vidas y que florezca en los actos de bondad, perdón y compasión hacia los demás. Que brille intensamente en medio de la oscuridad, un testimonio de esperanza inquebrantable que ofreces a través de tu Hijo Jesucristo. Bendice nuestra ofrenda, Padre, no por su perfección, sino por la sinceridad de nuestros corazones. Llénanos de tu amor, date a conocer a nosotros y guíanos por el camino de la vida eterna. En el precioso nombre de Cristo Jesús oramos. Amén.
Almighty God, we pray that our love for you, fueled by the Holy Spirit, will overflow into every aspect of our lives. May it blossom in acts of kindness, forgiveness, and compassion towards one another. May it shine brightly in the midst of darkness, a testament to the unwavering hope you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless our offering, Father, not for its perfection, but for the sincerity of our hearts. Fill us with your love. Make yourself known to us and guide us on the path to eternal life. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now will the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering, please.
Por favor, nos ponemos de pie en cuerpo y espíritu mientras cantamos nuestra oración de alabanza.
Please stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise.
So as we begin our time of Holy Communion together, I want to remind you that the altar rail offerings are in baskets on these first pews. If you want to give any of that money, it will go straight to Human Relations Sunday for the United Methodist Church. Also, as we invite to our table, Ophelia, what did she call you, Clarita?
Clarita.
Clarita. I've heard her call you that before. Now you know why I love these people so much. They're such great friends to this community of faith and me. Ophelia used to be a licensed local pastor in the Rio Grande Conference, so she is not a stranger to this process, and I've asked her to help me with Holy Communion by lifting the elements and sharing the words with me in Spanish, okay? The words will be a little different. You'll not see them in your United Methodist hymnal, but here up on the screen, so you'll need to have a viewpoint of the screen. I'm going to invite you to say a lot of the front words with me, and you'll be prompted in the bold up there as we begin our time together. These are the words you're going to join me with. The Lord is here. We lift our hearts to God As we give our thanks and praise, it is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He ate with sinners. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Este es símbolo de mi cuerpo que será entregado por ustedes. Hagan esto en memoria de mí.
When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Cuando la cena terminó, él tomó la copa y dio las gracias y dijo a sus discípulos, "Tomen esto en memoria de mí, porque esta es sangre de mi cuerpo, que es sangre para el nuevo pacto, para perdón de los pecados de todos. Hagan esto en memoria de mí."
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out the power of your Holy Spirit upon each one of us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one. One with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry and service to the whole world until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples as we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We, as many as we are, when we are one loaf of bread and we break it and partake in it, is it not a means in sharing in the body of Christ? And when we drink from this common cup, is it not a means in sharing in the blood of Christ? The body of Christ given for all in the blood of Christ shed for all. This is an open table, which means every single person of any age, race, gender, or identity is welcome at this table. Christ died so that it would be open to all. And so we'll invite you to come forward where we'll have two stations with bread and juice, and we'll offer the cup to you and the bread to you. We have a gluten-free station right over here, which will be strictly gluten-free. If you have gluten-free needs, just go to that station to be served. The table's been made ready, see? Please come. Let's say our prayer after receiving together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What an amazing day we've had here with the Holy Spirit showing up, with us receiving God's gift of covenant anew to send us forth into the world. And what better day would it be to renew a covenant or make a covenant to this church? Anyway, as people of God, we usually say our ministry mission here at Helotus Hills, and this is it. Will you join me? The mission of Helotus Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. And I know that you'll do it. And now we're being sent into the world in need of healing. We have all been given what we need, and now we all become God's messengers of peace. So go forth into the world, rejoicing in God's presence with you. Bring news of peace and hope to all that you meet. Amen?
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.